You're listening to Vet Candy.
Hey all, this is Dr. Jill Lopez. You may know me as the founder of Vet Candy, but do you know why I started Vet Candy? Simply put, it's because of people like you. I love that in our profession, there's always somebody new to meet. I'm really passionate about meeting new people and sharing their stories. And I consider myself fortunate to work in a field that is full of the coolest people on the planet. And that's why I created 21 Questions, to share their stories. With 21 Questions, we take a deep dive into interesting stories and topics. We talk with others in a free-formed, wide-open, relaxed conversation to not only have some laughs, but maybe to inspire some people along the way. Are you ready to get started? I am. Let's go!
Dr. Kyra Larrabee's story reads like a Western saga, woven with threads of determination, compassion, and a deep love for animals. Raised on a cow-calf operation in southwest Kansas, Kyra's roots in ranching cultivated her passions for animal care from a young age. For Kyra, the rodeo arena was familiar as the family ranch. Throughout her youth, she spent countless hours riding and competing in rodeos, embodying the spirit of the American West. Yet, beneath the dust and the sweat, a dream took root, a dream of becoming a veterinarian. I'm so excited to introduce you today, my guest, Dr. Kyra Larrabee. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kyra. You are an instructor at Texas.
I am. I am one of the associate professor or assistant professors at Texas Tech University School of Vet Med now.
That's so cool. And it would be so cool to be in vet school and have someone who's, you just recently graduated vet school. So you're sort of like your contemporary instead of the people I had in vet school, like especially who taught equine. He wasn't that much older. And I think he did date a few people after they graduated, but he was sort of young too. He was a lot of fun. It's good to have somebody who's young and fun, right?
Yep. At least I won't be dating any of my students since I'm married.
Yeah. Don't date your students. This was a long time ago when it was accepted, but he was actually really good about it. Like he did not date them while they were in school. He dated them after they left the school.
Yeah. But I'm excited. That was one of my big things is when I applied there is that I was excited to at least bring something that kind of connected me on the student's level because, you know, I recently graduated, so I know exactly what they're going through and can bring that recent experience and bring myself to their level to know how they're feeling in the moment. And so that's something that I pride myself on.
So right now, I mean, they're probably really nervous about Navli, like the equine section on Navli. So when, you know, that's probably like a real pain in their, like just something they're thinking of constantly, no matter what class they're in, right?
Yeah. So they just, we just had, the third years just went through their first, we had our first inaugural white coat ceremony, which was amazing. And to be there to watch that, to be the very first class that gets their white coat at Texas Tech. And so they're gearing up for clinics. We have the, model where they get to go outside of the classroom and go to clinics for their preceptorships.
Oh, I bet the clinics in Texas are excited about that, right?
Absolutely. I think everybody's really geared up because, you know, we're excited to have vets in the Texas Panhandle and the surrounding areas just being in rural practice again.
I'm in Connecticut and there are hardly any vets here. And I mean, we have to drive like an hour away to get to a vet. Our local vet does not take any new patients anymore. And so it's crazy. And if you're looking at, and this is like small animal, if you're looking at large animal, normally it's a nightmare, but we got really lucky. There's a female owned large animal vet group that it's mobile only. They're really great. But I mean, they're serving most of Connecticut. I'm sure they're stressed out of their minds working constantly because there's a lot, you wouldn't think about it. It's not Texas. We're not as big as Texas, but we do have, there's a lot of animals here. There's a lot of dairy and horses and everything here. So I'm glad there's, you're making more vet students because we need more veterinarians. They're not really worried about that. They get worried about Navli in fourth year, right?
Yep. So they're going into their fourth year and they're going to most likely, if I remember back to when I was taking Navli, I didn't really start gearing down to start studying until about August, September is when I really started hammering down, but they'll study over the summer. We actually set up time for those students to come back and take some special study sessions right before they do their NAVLE, because we do want them to be pretty successful on it.
Oh yeah. Cause you know, everyone's watching you, right? It's your first class. You need them. You need to have a very high pass rate. That's cool. So are you ready to play the game?
Let's do it.
Okay, the first question I have for you is, if you had a time machine and you could go anywhere in the future or the past, where would you go and what would you do and why?
I'm kind of a history junkie. I love World War II because of my dad, but I don't really want to go back to a war era. But I also love Egyptian stuff, funny enough. And so I think it'd be really cool to go back in time to see a lot of the Egyptian era when they had a lot of the pyramid building and all that, just to see it. I don't know if I'd want to live in that time frame, but to visit it and then come back. The other thought that just popped into my brain would be, it'd be really fun to go back in time and be one of the startups for a big company that's, you know, very successful, like Amazon or something, because I'd love to be making that money or something.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. You could get rid of what's his face and take over. Yeah, the Egyptians were awesome. I read this thing that it turns out they're not worshiping cats. The cats were the vessels of the gods to live in or something, like Bastet. But they were very good to cats, so that's a good place to go for sure. Okay, next up, you have a month off from school. You don't have to teach for a month. You have someone's taking care of your horses and all your animals and stuff. We drive up in the Vet Candy Airstream, which is a luxury Airstream, and we leave it, give you a gas card. You can go anywhere you want for a month, do whatever you want. Where are you going to go? Who are you going to bring with you? And what kind of like things are you going to bring with you to stock up that Airstream?
First I would take that Airstream, drive up to Dodge City, Kansas and pick my mom up. And then we would travel the US and probably go see all of the national parks. That's something that me and my mom love to do. We've made it a yearly trip thing that instead of giving gifts at Christmas, we actually like to go do experiences now. And so, yeah, I'd love to go travel the US and then go up to Canada and go up to the Canadian Rockies, and because Banff was amazing and I'd like to see it again and spend time up there again. So yeah, that's what I would do.
Okay. And then what would you stock that Airstream? Like what kind of food and stuff would you bring with you?
My mom has a huge sweet tooth, and so she'd want some M&Ms in there. Me, I'd want some Reese's for the road. If we're stopping along the way, I'm a huge advocate on stopping and seeing like hole in the wall restaurants. You know, we're going to stop and go eat at that, you know, particular place's best restaurant in town or something, and not do fast food.
That sounds really good. And you're in Texas, right? You know, when I was in Texas, I found Whataburger. Oh my God. Have you been there?
My husband loves that place.
I love that place. I ate there. I was there for like several days, and I ate there for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, the same, that Whataburger. It was so good.
There's a lot of people that stress Whataburger or Brahms. I'm from, you know, I went to school in Oklahoma, and that's kind of where Brahms is at. And so I think the Brahms hamburger is better than Whataburger, but I'm going to probably make some people mad with that statement.
You know, I never heard of Brahms, but I tell you, if I hate flying and like I hate traveling, but it would be worth a 4-hour flight to have one of those hamburgers right now. I'm like dying for it now that we're talking about it. Cause I'm seeing you stopping at these places. Like, you know how you go to a diner, they make really good hamburgers usually, right?
Yep. Never know what their specialty is. And that's one thing I like to ask is, what's the favorite item on the menu? And that's usually what I order, cause I don't want to just get, you know, be the regular chicken finger person. And
yeah, chicken fingers and mac and cheese. Okay. Well, speaking of that, what is your favorite food of all times that you never get sick of eating?
This is kind of funny, but Dairy Queen, the chocolate extreme blizzard. I always tell people that if I were on death row and this was my last meal, that would be my last meal.
So what's in that?
It's just chocolate goodness. It just fills my soul.
Oh my God. I'm so hungry right now. I'm like, I want a Whataburger and then a big giant blizzard, with everything in it too. That sounds really good.
Let's stop right here. Keep your thoughts and let's go to a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Based on a short story by Dr. Jill Lopez. How to Survive the End of the World features lead actors Clay and Caitlin Palmer, along with Angela Stoyanovska and Martin Manev. The show includes expert insights from veterinary specialist Dr. Richard Joseph and Dr. Alexandra Zara. The show was created and produced by audio engineer Vasco Kostovsky alongside Vet Candy. You can tune in to All Creatures on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or your preferred podcast platform.
Okay, next question. Who is your celebrity crush?
Probably a young Tom Selleck.
Ooh, you like the hairy chest.
I don't really like the hairy chest, but I just love Tom Selleck. I think he's just, I love Tom Selleck. I like watching Magnum P.I. and all of the Westerns he did when he was younger. So,
yeah, he's sort of like, just like sort of easygoing, right? He's not like in love with himself or anything. Okay, next question. What movie can you watch over and over and over again and you don't get sick of it?
Probably Say, and it's not even really my favorite movie. It's just every time I see this movie on TV or something, I will always leave it on to watch it. And it's The Proposal with Ryan Reynolds. I'll always watch that movie. I never get sick of that movie. And it's got Betty White in it, of course.
Like, that's one movie I haven't watched the whole thing. And it's Sandra Bullock, right? He's Canadian or she's Canadian. She has to get married to him and they work together or something. I don't know. I like anything with Ryan Reynolds. Has he been in a serious movie? He's always into comedy, right?
I don't think he's ever been in a serious. He may have been in a serious movie, but we don't know about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't know if it was even him in the movie, but he's just so fun. Or I'd just be laughing, even if he was serious, I would just be laughing at him. He's so funny. He's such a cool guy. You know, a lot of celebrity crushes for veterinarians are on Ryan Reynolds, by the way.
How many of them?
A lot of them. A lot of people mention Ryan Reynolds.
And he's very good looking, so.
Yeah, he's got that personality, you know? He's got such a fun personality.
I love to see the banter between him and his wife, Blake Lively, on Instagram. It's just, they roast each other, and it's just, like, so funny to see it, even though I feel like I know them and I don't.
I know. I watched Tubi. It's a free screening thing. And they have like all these random movies. And she was in a movie with Anna Kendrick called A Simple Favor. Oh my God. Blake Lively seems like she'd just be so much fun to be around. She just seems so fun. And she's got such style. They're having kids all the time, but they don't even tell you their name. You don't show them or put them on TV and stuff. They're very private about that. But during COVID, it was fun watching them. One time he had to do her roots because no one could go to the beauty salon. So he was like doing her roots on Instagram and stuff. I was like, that's so cool. Okay, next question. And you were telling me you grew up in Kansas. What's one of the most fun childhood memories you have of growing up in Kansas?
I grew up on a ranch in Southwest Kansas. And so one thing that was really fun when we grew up is that my parents would have a good family friend come in with his chuck wagon when we would brand our calves. So
what's a chuck wagon? Because nobody knows what it is.
So a chuck wagon. So if you think back in the old time Westerns, when, you know, people are on long cattle drives, they have the wagon that has all the meals with it. And so we had a friend who has a chuck wagon. So when we'd work our calves in the spring and get them doctored, do all of the things that we need to brand them, get their identification and get them all worked to make sure that they're healthy. At the end of that day, you know, it's a very long day. At lunchtime, we eat lunch around 2 or 3 in the afternoon. We're hot, we're tired. We have our chuck wagon that's cooking us a, you know, an old fashioned chuck wagon lunch after working calves. And you feel like you're back in the old time Westerns again. And so that was always a really fun time. And we have really good memories of that.
That sounds so good. I'm like starving. I'm so starving right now. Okay, that sounds like a lot of fun. I bet you're the only person who's fondest childhood memory in this day and age, your age, is getting a chuck wagon at your house.
Yep, and they'd always make the best cobbler afterwards. Like we would eat, you know, brisket or something real good and ended up with a peach cobbler, and his secret recipe that he'd add, that Jim, our good friend, would add to the recipe was Dr. Pepper.
I'm always trying to become a vegetarian. I'm eating like vegetarian hamburgers and stuff all the time, and I cannot do it because you're just, I'm like, when you said brisket, I'm like thinking about a big like pile of brisket. Okay, so next question, what is your biggest fear?
I'm scared to death of snakes. I would not be good exotic veterinarian. My friends and family know that snakes scare the crap out of me.
Like Indiana Jones, he hates snakes too.
Yeah, I will like touch one with the end of a shovel, but don't come at me with a snake because I probably won't be your friend ever again. But my other biggest fear, which is not something I could ever control, is losing family members, like people I care about.
That's definitely a fear that a lot of people have. I mean, you know, everyone should have that fear for sure. And snakes, my gosh. Someone on one of the people we interviewed on this show, Melinda McCall, she's actually a mixed vet practice in Virginia. And she said one time she got called to this place to vaccinate a bunch of cats for rabies. And it turns out she went into the guy's house. She's like, she thought no one would ever hear from her again. And the guy had like hundreds of snakes in cages. And she thinks that he was feeding those cats to the snakes. It was very creepy. And it wasn't like little snakes. It was like giant, long, you know, feet long snakes in really nice aquariums all through his basement. It was very creepy.
Funny enough, I hate snakes so much that before I got into vet school, like I went to undergrad at Oklahoma State as well. And during my senior year, my friend and I, she was doing her master's at the time. We came back from the bar one night to my house and we are sitting there because she was getting ready to go to her PhD at Texas Tech, funny enough. And we were just reminiscing on life, you know, doing the big talk. And I'm looking in the window of my house and I thought I saw a twig and actually it was a snake in my house. I called my mom at like 2:30 in the morning, screaming, asking her to come do something because I am so scared. And she goes, I don't know what you want me to do. Call the cops. So I called the cops and they came and got the snake out of the house for me.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. So you really depend on your mom. That's sweet. Although she's not going to really be able to help you, but
like, I don't know what you want me to do about it. Call the cops.
So now you've probably seen a lot. You grew up on a farm, you're rodeoing all over the place. You're a rodeo star. What is the wildest thing you've ever done?
A friend and I mean, it doesn't even have anything to do with rodeoing or anything. It was when we first got into college and you do dumb college stuff. Went skinny dipping one time and I'm like, that was, and I'm pretty sure there was a snake in that pond because we never skinny dipping ever again. And so learned my lesson on that, but there are some really good times in college I did have, even though I was focused on studying so hard to get into vet school.
Yeah. You know, I talked a lot to vet students and they do tell me that their biggest regret was they didn't have more fun in undergraduate. But then, you know, same thing is like, if you had too much fun, you wouldn't have been going to vet school. I think you should have a little bit of fun, but still keep your GPA up, right?
I have to credit my friends in undergrad. Like I tell people all the time, I would 100% go back in time. And, you know, I guess I could have answered that question and said, I'd go back to college in a heartbeat and go back through undergrad. Man, I had such a blast. Yeah. I worked really hard. I'm like looking back in time, like, man, did I ever get any sleep? I was doing research. I was rodeoing. I went to class. I was involved in extracurricular activities, leadership. And then on the side, still making time for friends. Man, I have to give credit to all my friends because they made my time in undergrad just so fulfilled. And I loved so much before it because of it.
Yeah, you know, that's true. That's true. I mean, I don't know if I would want to go to vet school again. I have like nightmares on back in vet school. But I think undergrad, like, I mean, where you didn't really have, I mean, you had a pressure because you had to try to go to vet school, but I don't know. I mean, you know, you'll never have that again. You go to classes with different people. You had any class. You could take any class you wanted. You know, so much freedom, I guess. Okay, next question. What's your biggest regret?
I don't know. I don't really live in that type of mindset. I try not to have huge regrets in life because when I look at when I do things, I'm like, yep, it happened and I move on with my life. Yeah, that's a really good question, though. I wish that I could have a better answer for you on that. But I don't know. My family has just instilled those values of like, yeah, you messed up, move on now. So let's get up. Let's go.
Yeah, that's true. You know, a lot of vets say that. A lot of vets tell me that they live that way, that, you know, if they do make a mistake, you know, whatever, I did it. I'm learning from it and moving on. So that's a good way to be.
Okay, okay. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm just getting a note. We have to go to commercial break. So you guys keep listening and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Are you ready to unmask the opioid crisis and uncover the vital role of veterinarians in the battle against it? Join me, Clay Palmer, for Unmasking the Opioid Crisis, A Veterinarian's Vital Role Unveiled, presented by Vet Candy and brought to you by Covetrus. In this enlightening podcast series, I will take you on a journey through the layers of the opioid crisis and talk about the role veterinarians play to help protect their patients, communities, and even themselves. Together, we'll unravel the complexities, engage in insightful discussions, and gain valuable insights. Stay tuned for a podcast that empowers, educates, and unites us in the battle against opioid misuse. Don't miss Unmasking the Opioid Crisis. Tune in on Vet Candy on a podcast platform of your choice, and let's make a difference together. Brought to you by Covetrus and presented by Vet Candy.
Okay, next question is, what are three items on your bucket list?
I really want to hit the seven continents. I love to travel. And so I'd love to hit the seven continents.
How many continents have you gone to already?
Three. Oh, wait, no, sorry. Just two.
Okay. Where?
Just North America and then Europe. One of the ladies that who was in the AVMA that I cherish so much, she just got back from a trip from Antarctica, and I saw it on TikTok and I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to go to Antarctica.
Everybody's going to Antarctica or the Galapagos lately. Have you noticed that?
I haven't seen the Galapagos, but the Antarctica.
Seems like everybody I see on TikTok has just got back from Galapagos or is going to Galapagos. There's actually a first year student. His name is Jeremiah Pouncey at Cornell, and he's going to the Galapagos this summer.
I don't know if I could talk my family members or friends to go to Antarctica with me because nobody wants to go to the Drake Shake, but I'm like, I totally love adventures. So being able to go and do some of that stuff would be super fun for me.
Yeah. The idea of going to Antarctica is great, but being there, I don't know how great it would be, but they do have like a world-class chef there. They say the food is like unbelievable when you get there.
I mean, you're going to be traveling that far. You might as well make something good. And then the other thing on my bucket list is, you know, at one day in time, I've never been big on like having a timeline of when I need to get married, when I need to have kids and do all this. Because when I was growing up, I was looking at the date of when I was becoming a veterinarian. That was all I cared about. I think my bucket list, I've got two other things on my big bucket list is one, I'd love to compete at a major pro rodeo. And just because I'd love and do well at it, that's on my bucket list. And then I'd like to, for one day, to keep one of these younger horses we currently have for our kids to be able to grow up on one.
Well, I have a little gray pony you can have. It'd be perfect for your baby because I hate him. But my daughter will kill me. He's just got like this attitude, you know? He's just like this little gray Welsh pony and he's really cute. He looks like Merrylegs, but I don't know. I'm just like, if he would run away, I would go look for him kind of thing. He's just so cute. And you could actually train him. But I just have to figure out a way to sneak him to Texas and then tell my daughter that he ran away because she really loves him for some reason. But he has no redeeming qualities, you know?
I get that. Yep. That's kind of you either get a good pony or you get a bad pony. There's like usually no in between.
He's always up to something. You know, he's really smart and the other ones are not that smart. So he gets them to do stupid stuff all the time. They ran away once. They took off and ran away because of him. He was leading them up to our neighbor's house who thinks I'm insane because I come up there and I like, it's just crazy. But it's like him. It's his. He's always doing sneaky stuff, sneaking around. Like he'll try to pretend like he's not there. So you won't put him like in his fence. He's just weird. He's not as like the scent that I like on the other horse, you know, better, but he would be perfect for your children. He would be perfect. He's got a really cute trot and he's very fluffy. Yeah, there's your bucket list done. I'll put him in the next train over to Texas. I'll trade you for a Whataburger. I would definitely trade him for a Whataburger. Okay, so the next question, this is actually your last question. You ready? What's the weirdest thing in your closet? And it better be weird because you're a rodeo girl. So I'm sure there's some weird things in your closet.
I have belt buckles and I have hats and I've got my gun in there because obviously we live out in the country. So we always have like my gun in there.
Yes, yeah, some things that people have in their closet are very strange. Yeah, I always say that because I record in my closet because it's the quietest room. My daughter's in the other room playing, she has violin lessons, so I have to go to a quiet room. And then the closet's perfect. Like, by the way, if you ever do a podcast, you always want to be in a closet. So, oh my God, I've got weird things in my closet. Very weird things. I've got 3 ukuleles, in fact. I guess, I mean, we'll take the gun. That's odd. That's odd to have a gun in your closet. So, well, thanks for playing the game. I guess the next thing I was going to say is you were telling me before we started the show that you were working with the animals in the recent wildfires down in Texas. Is there anything that the listeners can do? Like is there anything they can do to help or what's going on right now or how they can help?
Yeah. So if people don't know much about it, there was a huge wildfire that went through during about the first week of March, around that time that it's actually the largest wildfire in Texas history. And they're still trying to figure out kind of a basis on how many animals were, you know, injured or taken during that fire. There was hundreds of homes that were burned during that time and people just kind of uprooted and kind of just had everything taken from them. Things that you guys can do is donate to, you know, if you're interested in helping with veterinary relief, is donating to the American Veterinary Medical Foundation or the Texas Veterinary Medical Foundation, because that allows veterinarians that are working directly with their clients and producers that were affected or people that had their homes and their pets that were affected when their homes burned down. They can apply for these grants to kind of help kind of get them back on their feet and pay for medical bills.
American Veterinary Medical Foundation, AVMF. They've been around for a long time and they're always doing wonderful things. It's always like when I hear about something, I know all the AVMF is going to help with that for sure. So I'm glad that they're still doing that. And you were telling me how all kinds of people have helped out. And I know people from your college has helped out, Texas Tech.
Yep. It's been really wonderful to see the agricultural and veterinary communities coming together. You know, even at just Texas Tech, the students rallied. You know, we had a student that just was like, hey, let's put together a whole bunch of stuff. And everybody, all these students came together, donated hay, donated some medical supplies, donated, you know, feed. They donated milk replacer because there were so many babies that calves that lost their moms. And, you know, they donated that to many of the producers in the panhandle. And then on top of that, just the outpouring of love and support and monetary donations, because unfortunately, this wasn't a big enough hit to receive government support. And so, so that was a kind of a big thing there. And so, you know, and lastly, everybody's just praying for rain. You know, that's the stinky part about living where we live sometimes is those natural grasses. You know, it's really hard when you have a wildfire go through. There's no trees, no nothing. It's just wind blows it and it goes fast.
Well, we have a lot of rain up here. I'd love to send down to you. It's raining like the next couple of days. It's very wet up here. It's just like our muddy season. So if anyone wanted to connect with you, which is the best way? I think I saw you on Instagram, but I know you're on LinkedIn too, right?
Yep. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram and I am on TikTok. I haven't posted in a minute, but I'm hoping to get back on TikTok. But at Dr. Larrabee, Dr.Larrabee is my Instagram handle.
Okay. Well, great. It was so nice having you on the show today. And I learned so much about Kansas. Like I'm like obsessed with Kansas now. I want to go there. It seems like it's like going back to Little House on the Prairie time.
Come down. We'll take you for a ride, go visit, and go see what everything looks like.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay away from the tornado season for sure. So, yeah, well, thanks for being on the show. And listeners, thank you for listening. And next week we have Keisha Brown on the show, practice manager extraordinaire. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy. It's Vet Candy Radio.